Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Aram Kazazian of Bayside Family Dentistry.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Der Narek from St. Sarkis Church with a new episode of the podcast. Last week, the martyrs of the Armenian Genocide were canonized in the Armenian Church. And today, we will be saying a prayer to the new holy martyrs of the Armenian Church, asking for their intercession. So let us start our day in our program with a prayer to the new holy martyrs of our church. Christ our God, you crown your saints with triumph, and you do the will of all who fear you, looking after your creatures with love and kindness. Hear us from your holy and heavenly realm by the intercession of the Holy Mother of God and by the prayers of all your saints, especially the holy martyrs who gave their lives during the Armenian Genocide for the faith and for the homeland, whom we commemorate today. Hear us, Lord, and show us your mercy. Forgive, cancel, and pardon our sins. Make us worthy thankfully to glorify you with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, now and always, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. I would like to reflect on last weekend's event. It was, at least for me, an emotionally charged weekend with so many meaningful events. It started with the canonization of our martyrs in Holy Etchmiadzin, a service that we have not seen before, because the Armenian Church has not canonized saints for centuries. It was a moving ceremony, and I want to play parts of Aram Vehapar's message from the ceremony of the canonization.
Իր սուրբերը եւ մեր եկեղեցին օրհնեց մեր ժողովրդի յանքի մեջ աստուծո ներկայությունը ապրած հավատքի ու հայրենիքին համար իրենց յանքը ընծայաբերած անձերը մեր նահատակ սուրբերը իրենց հավատքը մեր հավատքը գրանեցին իրենց հույսով մեր յանքը շաղախեցին եւ այսօր արդեն իսկ մեր ժողովրդի յանքի մեջ մահադակ ու սուրբ դարձած բասն հավատո ու բասն հայրենյաց իրենց առինը տապած մեր նահատակները մեր եկեղեցվո գողմե կսրբանան հետևաբար Ուրախ մեր սուրբ եկեղեցի եւ սա հոգեբարար բահում հայրենի սրբազան հողին վրա կանգնած Էջմիածնի խորախորհուրդ գամարներու ներքև արևմտյան Հայաստանի ու գելիգյոթ իմաց կեցած հայ ժողովրդի հավերժությունը մարնացնող Արարատին իմաց կանգնած որպես ժողովուրդ հայոց Մենք գվերանորոգենք մեր ուխտը սրբազան, հավատարիմ մնալու մեր նահատակներու սրբազան գդագին, հետևաբար, ով նահատակներ հայոց, բաղեցեք ու պաշտպանեցեք մեր սիրելի հայրենիքը, պայծառագերվեցեք մեր ժողովրդի յանքը սպիրս աշխարհի եւ ցույց տվեք մեզի հեբի հավերժություն հեբի մեր ժողովրդի իրավունքներու արդար հադուցում առաջնորդով սրբազան ճամփան
On April 24th, the whole Armenian world commemorated the centennial of the Armenian Genocide from Dzizernagapert to Antilias to all four corners of the church. Here in New York, we also had an epic commemoration. It started with the celebration of the Divine Liturgy at St. Vartan's Cathedral and at St. Illuminator's Cathedral. I was serving on the altar as His Eminence Archbishop Oshagan celebrated the Divine Liturgy. And for me, it was such an emotional moment. Witness the celebration of Badarak on the relics of the saints. For those who don't know, the side altar in St. Illuminatus Cathedral has the relics of the martyrs of the Armenian Genocide. And just to look at the bones while you're saying your prayers, that was such a moving experience. So after the celebration of the Divine Liturgy, we marched to the Turkish embassy. And it was so powerful, so overwhelming to see over 2,000 Armenians on a weekday, on a workday, to walk and to chant. It was such a rewarding experience. The biggest event was on April 26th, on Sunday, where all Armenian communities of Mid-Atlantic came to celebrate the Divine Liturgy at St. Vartan's Cathedral, where Archbishop Khazhak Barsamyan, the primate of the Armenian Church, celebrated the Divine Liturgy, and Archbishop Oshagan Choloyan, the prelate of the Eastern Prelacy, gave the sermon. I would like to play parts of the sermon that Oshagan Serpazan gave last Sunday.
There is an episode that Yelishev, the historian of the Armenian people, who narrates the era of St. Vartan and their war and battle. He says that after the war and battle of Alaray, the king of Persia took prisoner all the clergy, from the Catholicos to the deacon. And in this home, in the capital, the examiner tried to force them to deny their religion, their faith. Instead, these brave and faithful people, those who took an oath forever to serve our Lord Jesus Christ, they never gave up. And in one instance, when the examiner was forcing Bishop Sahar, the Bishop of Rasulnik, to deny his faith, instead he said that your religion is false. And at that time, he struck his sword and cut down the right arm of Saint Sahar. This bishop bowed down, took his own arm, and offered to God, saying, "This is my body." The way that his Lord said, and it is in our lifetime the best time that 3 days before, in presence of our clergy in Holy Echmiadzin, they praised and offered our people, our martyrs, to God. And they made the nation of God. We became a nation of God with so multitude of martyrs. Sireliner, Surp Echmiadzni mec gadarvats ait khorakhovurt aranutyuna. Harvir taniner ir mec kvaher sukh, tsav, havadarutyun, ընդվզում, պահանջագիրություն, պայքար, և 100 տարի հետ ինչ երանություն մեր նահատակներում, որ անուր դարձան աստուծո ժողովուրդը այս ու հետև, և մենք դարձանք թորներ ու ծորները Pharaoh.
Following the Divine Liturgy, thousands of Armenians marched from St. Vartan's Cathedral to Times Square. We have estimates that say over 10,000 Armenians were at Times Square. It was such a meaningful program that the Knights of Vartan put together. In the following segment, I would like to play parts of speeches that Tener Akçam and Senator Schumer delivered during the program.
On this, a day laden with great historical meaning, I would like to thank you for allowing me to appear with you and to share your grief and sorrow. Today does not merely mark the centennial of the annihilation of some 1.1 million Armenians. It also marks a century of denial of this crime. The Turkish government continues to deny not merely any responsibility for the horrors inflicted upon Armenian people, but even the fact that it happened at all. As a Turk, it is from this fact that my sorrow and great shame derive. My sole consolation is that I do not grieve alone. The nation of Turkey consists of more than simply its denialist regime. There is another Turkey, and the citizens of that Turkey are ready to face their history. It is those Turks who feel obligated to erase the black stain left by those who committed these crimes. In more than 25 cities, from Istanbul to Van, the people of East Turkey have not waited for denialist government to recognize the genocide. Instead, they have been blazing a new path, one that allows them to discover their past. I'm not an official representative of this other Turkey, but I know, I speak for many, when I convey to you, the Armenian people, my sincere apologies for both the past crimes and for the century of denial. Here, as I stand before you today, I think I can promise, in name of this other Turkey, to do everything in our power to finally put an end to this denialism. The Ottoman government had a flawed concept of national security. They viewed the Armenians and their demand for equality and social justice as a threat to the Ottoman state and society. They targeted the Armenians for extermination. Today, in Turkey, Turkish and Armenian children are taught through textbooks published by the Education Ministry that the Armenians continue today to pose a threat to Turkish national security. These textbooks are filled with hateful and racist remarks against Armenians and are steeped in distorted narratives about treacherous Armenians.
I stand with you and labeling the atrocity committed on the Armenian people for what it was, genocide. It was genocide. We know that. No denier can take that away. The size of this crowd, your energy, your collective spirit shows that after 100 years, the deniers cannot kill the truth. In fact, even though we are 100 years after this atrocity, the momentum is growing to commemorate the Armenian genocide and force the Turks to admit it once and for all. Why are we here? For many reasons. But we know this. It matters because to secure our place as a civilized people in Armenia and here in America and indeed in every corner of the globe, we must call out evil for what it is. We must stare directly into the heart of darkness and answer the questions. How did it happen? Who was responsible? Who answered the call for help? And who ran from responsibility? When people are forced to confront these questions, it makes it much less likely that another Holocaust, another genocide, will ever happen again. On this day, the sacred centennial of the Armenian Genocide, our responsibility to remember the abuses in history and sober reflection upon them is as important as ever. Because although the Armenian Genocide was the first Holocaust of the 20th century, it was unfortunately not the last. Untold millions suffered as a result of the lessons denied and unlearned. From Hitler's Germany, to Stalin's Ukraine, to Pol Pot's Cambodia, to the Balkans, to Rwanda, and to Sudan, these events are more than just a stain on their nations or their continent, they are a stain on humanity. And so, I am so proud that Pope Francis recently said about the Armenian Genocide that concealing or denying evil is allowing a wound to keep bleeding without bandaging it.
Pop culture was also part of the program on Sunday in Times Square when the lead singer Sebu Simonian from Capital Cities appeared and he performed a set. He also performed his hit single, Safe and Sound. Here's some of the footage.
Would you wanna see and take you where you wanna be? You could be my love. Even if the sky is falling down, I know that we'll be safe and sound. We're safe and sound. I could feel your cup. You know my river won't evaporate. This world we still appreciate. You could be my luck. Even in a hurricane of frowns, I know that we'll be safe and sound. We're safe and sound. We're safe and sound. We're safe and sound. In a tidal wave of mystery, you'll still be standing next to me. You could be my love. Even if we're 6 feet underground, I know that we'll be safe and sound.
One of my favorite events for this weekend was the concert that System of a Down had at the Republic Square in Yerevan, Armenia, where thousands of Armenians were there chanting with them. But for me, one of the most meaningful moments was Serge Tankian's speech towards the end of the concert, where he reflected on the genocide, reflected on the responses of American people, the Russian people, and then he reflected on the current situation of Armenia.
For the last few days, I haven't been able to sleep well. All I can think about is my grandparents. My grandmother was very little when she went on the pogroms on the road with her grandmother. It was a Turkish mayor that saved my grandmother. The government of Turkey should be hailing these saviors as heroes instead of denying the obvious history. My grandfather was 5 years old when he saw his own father die. He lost his sight from hunger. On the road, he ended up in an American orphanage in Greece. The Near East Foundation of the United States has done an incredible philanthropic job around the world, especially having to do with saving Armenian orphans. So the fact that the US government takes the wrong word to recognize what we know as genocide is not only appalling to us, it's appalling to Americans. Russia has also saved many, many orphans and children during World War I on the Eastern Front of the Ottoman Empire. They've been a great cultural ally, neighbor, culturally, politically, economically, intertwined with our country. Good friends. But we shall, as survivors, as a nation of survivors, we need to meet every government eye to eye, equally, without ever being a client state of one country or another. We've come a long way, Armenia. In 20 years of independence, we've come a long way. But there's still a lot of work to do. It is the responsibility of the Republic, the government of the Republic of Armenia, to bring in the principles of egalitarian civic society. Getting rid of the institutional injustice abound. And stopping the depopulation that is occurring. We are system of the down, and it's our responsibility to tell you these things and to rock you at the same time. Thank you.
There could have been no better way to end that concert in Yerevan, Armenia. I'd like to thank System of a Down for all they're doing to bring awareness about the Armenian genocide and all genocides in the world. My guest today is Natalie Gapielian, and she will be talking about Gus on the Go. Natalie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Dernarek. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you very much. Why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Sure. My name is Natalie Gavrilian. I am a proud native New Yorker, and I currently am the Director of Scholarships and Alternative Education at AGBU, the Armenian General Benevolent Union. I've grown up in the Queens, New York community. I'm a proud graduate of Holy Martyrs Armenian Day School, of Siamanto Academy. I've been a very proud and staunch supporter and quite active member of too many Armenian community organizations. Most recently, I served on the executive body of the Armenian Genocide Centennial Committee of America, the Eastern Region. So right now, if I'm a bit excited or filled with emotions, because we just had a very, very emotionally charged week, if not weekend, of commemorative events. And I thank the entire community for coming out and supporting.
I agree with you. But let's talk about Gus on the Go. Tell us about this project. What is Gus on the Go?
So I'm going to just take a step back and say how Gus came into being a member of the AGBU family. So as I'm sure many people are aware, for almost a century, AGBU has had numerous educational projects as part of its mission, from Armenian schools all the way to the Armenian Virtual College, which was its first presence in online education. That was launched in 2009. Since then, AVC, which it is commonly referred to as, has also launched ebooks that are available on iOS and Android devices. So the more, you know, we advance, especially with technological advancements, we realize that we need to bring technology into the home, into the Armenian classroom. We need to get children and learners of all ages excited about learning Armenian, learning about Armenian. So as HBU is redefining its educational mission with the idea of, being at the forefront of Armenian e-learning or electronic learning online, we are taking our first step into the wonderful world of apps with Gus on the Go. So Gus on the Go is already a highly popular language learning app, and AGBU just had the pleasure of recently partnering with its creators to develop languages 27 and 28 of its already existing series. So languages 27 and 28 are the Eastern and Western Armenian versions of this language learning app.
So you have two different versions of the app, one for Eastern Armenian and another for Western Armenian?
That is correct, yes. The app features a very friendly, very adorable owl, Gus, and it acts as a guide as it travels to Armenia, making stops in Gyumri, Sardarabad, Yerevan, and Dativ. Now, these cities represent the four different levels within the app. So the app is a vocabulary app. It features nearly 90 Armenian vocabulary words. So as Gus is traveling to Gyumri, Sardarabad, Yerevan, and Dativ, as I mentioned, the different levels, children or preschoolers, the target audience for this app, unlock various vocabulary words. And they learn not only the words, but how to pronounce them. The categories include animals, food, transportation, clothes, numbers, colors, parts of the body, and shapes. So I mentioned that app is targeted for preschoolers, but it is good for anyone, Armenians and non-Armenians alike, who are interested in learning basic vocabulary in either Eastern or Western Armenian.
I downloaded the app, and it's, as you said, it's very interactive. And if you can help your children learn 90 or so Armenian words through an app, that is an amazing, amazing work.
The best part about this or any app is that, you know, we're encouraging the innovative learning experience to be featured not only in the classroom as a supplement to our traditional learning environment, but to have the learning and most importantly, the fun continue in the car, you know, at home, when they go on play dates, just anywhere. It's available at your fingertips or online with free Armenian language printable activities. And these include numbers flashcards, the zoo animal fortune teller, as well as the transportation wheel printable. And again, all of these printables are available both in Western and Eastern Armenian.
Natalie, I think I heard your voice on the Western Armenian version of the app.
Yes, I must confess that is my voice in the Western Armenian version of the app, and my colleague Lusine Kerovian's voice on the Eastern Armenian version of the app. No point in going out when you have in-house talent that you can utilize.
What other projects that the AGBU is currently working on?
Right now, we are building basically a virtual hub where you can find Gus, although Gus currently is available at the App Store on iOS and Google Play and Amazon Marketplace. But You can find Gus on what will soon become a virtual online hub of electronic resources, which we are calling the eSource Center. It will house a section for apps, for ebooks, for virtual tours, for videos, which we are calling web talks, and for various other language learning products. So some of the other items that will be featured here that will be produced by AGBU, I can mention that coming soon will be a travel app also targeted for the younger audience called Im Armenia. The concept behind this is that, I guess when I was growing up, parents encouraged children to keep possibly a travel journal. We carried around a camera and took photos. But right now, every kid has a cell phone in their pocket. They carry, either an iPad or other tablet with them. So we're hoping that children, as they travel to Armenia, or even before they travel to Armenia, they will learn about the various historic and touristic sites, churches, monasteries, museums, statues. So as they learn about it, and then once they travel to Armenia, they'll be able to upload their own photos that they capture on the ground, type in their own notes like a journal, and then at the end of their journey, after visiting the 15 to 20 sites featured within the app, they will be able to create this photo gallery, a video of their travels along with their journal, which they can then share with their family and friends.
You just came back from Armenia. This has nothing to do probably with the educational program of the AGBU, but tell us about your experience. How was it like for you to be in Armenia in April?
Oh, wow. It was amazing. We actually were there during Holy Week, and it was amazing. I had the opportunity to attend Easter Mass at Holy Echmiadzin. It was my third time in Armenia, and every time I go, I just see more and more advancement, particularly in Yerevan, the youth and how educated they are. It's truly inspiring, and for those of us who are involved in the community, and you get to see the work that you're doing here in the diaspora, actually taking place and being realized on the ground there. Actually, part of the trip was for educational purposes. We did have a launch at the Yerevan municipality, hosted by Yerevan's mayor, Daron Margaryan. We had the launch of the AVC, Armenian Virtual College's second ebook called Exploring Yerevan, which is an interactive travel guide. Again, now this, that is for adults. So we had a soft launch of that, and it's great to see how people on the ground actually embrace all of these projects and initiatives that we create here in the diaspora.
So now for the 10,000+ people who were at Times Square on last Sunday, as the events kind of ended, I think it will be great for everyone to be able to download the app, Gus on the Go, and try to teach their children the 90+ words in Armenian. That will be a simple step that everyone can do to be part of our heritage and our culture as Armenians. So Natalie, tell us one more time, where can we get the app from?
Sure. Again, the app is called Gus on the Go, Western Armenian for Kids or Eastern Armenian for Kids. There are two separate apps. They are available at the App Store on your iOS or Android devices. So go to the App Store, Google Play, Amazon App Store. It's available there right now. So I do encourage everyone to travel to Armenia with our friendly owl, Gus.
Thank you, Natalie. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
We are continuing with our genocide reflections, which took place here in the month of March. And today's presenter is Mrs. Diana Demirjian Kava.
Arjan Abadiv Derhair, dear guests. I'm honored to have been asked by Der Narek to speak to you tonight regarding my reflections on the Armenian genocide and my thoughts on perpetuating the Armenian culture, language, and legacy on future generations of Armenian youth. I am one of the fortunate descendants of the Armenian genocide. in that most of my family members were spared from being killed at the hands of the Turks during the first genocide of the 20th century. However, the genocide nevertheless left an indelible mark on my family tree and the fate of my ancestors. The story of my family, as it has been told through the generations, goes something like this. I think my daughter wants to tell the story. She's not quite there yet. My maternal great-grandmother, Hipsime, was born to Gülizar and Garbis. She was the oldest of four children. Hipsime and Ovanes married in Kostamonu, Turkey in 1911, and in 1914 they were blessed with the birth of my grandmother, Vartuhi. At the start of the genocide in 1915, my grandmother, Vartuhi, was less than 1 year old. That is when Ovanes was drafted to the Turkish army to fight against the Allied powers in World War I. My great-grandmother Hipsime, my grandmother Vartuhi, and Ovanes' family were spared their lives as a result of my great-grandfather's military service. However, they were not allowed to stay in their homes. They were deported to a small village in central Anatolia by the Turkish government, and they were given a plot of land to build a home. Ovanes went on to fight in World War I all along, never hearing from his wife or his daughter, never knowing if they were alive or if they had fallen victim to the genocide. Eventually, a distraught Ovanes concluded that his wife and child must be dead. While he was a soldier in Adana, a missionary approached him about marrying a young woman who was left orphan, her entire family being killed during the genocide. She was all alone in the world. Ovanes, too, believed that he was all alone in the world. And so they married, and they had a daughter together. By the end of the war in 1921, Ovanes heard through the grapevine that his wife and his daughter were indeed still alive. Upon learning this, he decided that he must find them. He must reunite with his wife and his child. But what was he to do with his new family? After making a heart-wrenching decision, he entrusted the care of his second wife and child, who was 3 years old at the time, to the missionaries in Turkey. And he went on a search to find his first wife and child, my grandmother. After years of being separated from them, they were finally reunited. Hipsime and Ovanes went on to have 3 more children, my grandmother's brothers and sisters, and they were happily married until death did them part. However, Ovanes always lived with the guilt and the burden of having sent his wife and daughter away, having them live on their own. My grandmother never knew her half-sister, and to this day, their whereabouts are unknown to our family, an entire branch of our family tree, perhaps lost forever. But Hipsime and Ovanes' family line continued. Their firstborn child, my grandmother Vartuhi, eventually met and married my grandfather Adam and moved to Constanța, Romania, where my mother was born. My grandmother, who was a young widow, wishing to realize her husband's dream of moving to America, came to America with my mother and my uncle with the help of ANSHA, the Armenian National Committee to Aid Homeless Armenians. My mother met and married my father in New York, had my brother and myself, and built a life together as an Armenian family living in New York City. I had the fortune of living with my grandmother until she passed away when I was 17 years old. She was a beautiful woman, both inside and out. She was a strong woman with a quiet resilience. She never spoke about having been separated from her father for the first 7 years of her life. She never spoke of her half-sister, who her father had to give up at the age of 3, and who she never had the opportunity to meet. She was hardworking, kind, loving, faithful to her family, her beliefs, and her religion. She wore a cross on her neck, which she never took off. Every night, she prayed to the small statue of the Virgin Mary that lay on her bedside. She did not know all the words to the Shadagans in church, but you could feel the presence of the Holy Spirit moving inside of her when she prayed at church, when she prayed at home, when she prayed for her family. She was an excellent cook who made amin manta and stuffed dolma with the best of them. I wish that I had spent more time with her learning how to cook Armenian food. But above all, she was Armenian. She was the matriarch of our Armenian family, and she held on to those traditions, the food, the rituals. They were as much a part of her as her arms, her legs, her name. It was of the utmost importance for her, for her children and her grandchildren to carry those traditions on. After all, her family had been separated and shattered in the name of maintaining their Armenian identity. That was not something to be taken lightly. That was something that we had to continue to fight for and maintain in this great land of America. So then, what did it mean to me to be part of an Armenian family, to be a first-generation Armenian-American? Though I am a first-generation American, I'm in my mind first and foremost an Armenian. If someone asks me about myself, one of the first things I tell them, pretty much after my name, is that I'm Armenian. And when I go on to explain where my family is from, I get met with a lot of questions. And non-Armenians, or Odars, as we affectionately call them, have a difficult time understanding how I identify myself as Armenian when my mother is from Romania, my father is from Bulgaria, my grandparents are from Turkey. And my response, and I take that as an opportunity to try to educate them about the genocide, so my response, other than the historical explanation of Armenians being throughout the diaspora because of the genocide, is that being Armenian is so much more than being from a region, a country. It's the language, it's the culture, it's the songs, the dances, the traditions, the rituals, and the religion, which for me personally embodies the essence of being Armenian, an Armenian Christian. And though my parents lived in Bulgaria and Romania, they were still Armenian. They went to Armenian school, they spoke Armenian, they went to Armenian churches, they practiced their Armenianism. And that was not a fate that was very easy to accomplish when living in communist bloc countries. But again, that is the core of what being Armenian is: surviving, persevering, maintaining our identity, our culture, and our community, no matter where we find ourselves. And so it's no surprise that my upbringing was deeply rooted in being Armenian. Everything centered around it. I didn't hang out with kids from school. They were Odar. We didn't associate with Odars outside of school. After all, mom and dad didn't know them. Oven, Inchen, Uderenen, Mengchenk Jashnash. Kna setayin het haftir, kna rafin het haftir, anons tunokka kidenk. Sounds familiar, I could tell from the, yeah. So we didn't associate with them, the Odar. We associated with our own kind. We trusted our own kind. It didn't matter if we didn't know them. We knew somebody that knew them and their parents. And even if we didn't, they were Armenian. They were one of ours. They were from our community. So I didn't participate in cheerleading or school plays or Little League. Instead, my after-school activities were Hamaskai dance group and St. Sarkis basketball. I didn't socialize with my friends that I wasn't really allowed to have anyway. On the weekends, I went to AYF meetings. We had pizza socials and article writing parties with Unger Mike as our designated driver. And as I got older, I didn't go to school dances or parties. I went to the holiday hop and dances at the Agwump, which they should really bring back if they don't have anymore. Yeah. My Armenian friends and my Armenian events were my life, physically, socially, emotionally, and foremost spiritually. And so I grew up with this amazing sense of community, of knowing exactly where I belonged and of feeling like I belonged. And I'm eternally grateful for that, for my deep-rooted sense of community, language, culture. I know who I am because I know where I come from. And though my Armenian language is not the most fluent, despite my parents' insistence on Hayden Hosetsek, and though my reading and writing has waned since my days at St. Sarkis Saturday School, what lives inside me and what will always live inside of me is the feeling of belonging, the sense of community that I feel when I walk into this church, or when I meet another Armenian, or when I hear Mer Haydanik and think back to my AYF days. It's about the feeling of belonging and pride that I feel when I hear the Sharagans at church or see the Yeraz dance group perform. Those are my people, my culture, my music. It's my home. And I believe that every generation of Armenians carry with them the inherent fear that this community and these customs will not survive, that the rituals will be lost, and that there'll be no leadership in the Armenian community. However, each generation continues to thrive, and I believe will continue to thrive. I see my childhood friends that I went to Saturday school with bringing their own children to Saturday school when I drop off my daughter, Victoria. 25 years later, and the cycle continues, and it makes me feel both proud and happy. I know that for me, the sense of being Armenian is so instilled as a part of who I am that it's only natural that I will instill that into my children. It's my pleasure and my responsibility to continue to give my children the same sense of community that I grew up with. It's my responsibility as an Armenian to maintain the culture, but it's also my responsibility as a parent so that they know where they come from. So to me, and I'm gonna wrap it up, I know we're running behind. This to me, the sense of maintaining and preserving our identity and our community is directly linked to being survivors and descendants of survivors of the genocide. The desire to make sure that we never come close to becoming an extinct nation. The desire to hold on as strong as possible to being Armenian, to being Christian, something that was almost completely taken away from us. And this desire, this need, again, is so ingrained in our grandparents, our parents, and now our generation will inevitably pass it on to the next generation to ensure that the next generation grows up as members of the Armenian community. Although perhaps I may allow my daughters to go to a school dance or two, or maybe even join Little League, because many of us are no longer immigrants living in this country. We're first, second, even third generation of Armenians living in America, and will no doubt fall victims to assimilation in both large ways and small. However, I believe that in order to survive assimilation, we need to find ways to balance our national identity as Americans with our cultural identity as Armenians. And I believe that the best way to do this is to be more open and inclusive rather than introverted and exclusive. Not we're Armenians, so let's stay within ourselves, but let's broaden our horizons and teach the world about us. If there's an Odar face in church, let's educate him or her about church customs, not shun them for not understanding or not knowing. If our children have Odar friends, great. Let's ensure that our children know their Armenian story, their history, and their customs, so that they can teach their friends about who they are, like Lada's daughter does. So let's hold on to our culture and live with pride that it has been sustained and will continue to be sustained, rather than fear that it will disappear. Thank you.
Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do here every week on the podcast. Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 42. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is one of my favorite parables. I'm sure that most of you have read it, have heard so many sermons about it. If we were to give a full reflection about this parable, probably it will take us hours and hours. But I would like to reflect on two things. I would like to reflect on what the Good Samaritan does. He bandages the wounds and then he takes the guy to an inn and he pours oil and wine and asks the innkeeper to take good care of him because he is about to come back and to pay for whatever expenses St. Augustine of the Catholic Church has a very good reflection on this parable when he says that the Good Samaritan is Jesus Christ, who comes to rescue us from our sins, and then he takes us and puts us in the care of the Holy Church, where our wounds are healed with the sacraments of the church, the oil and wine. But we're not there to stay forever, because Jesus is eventually coming back to see how we are doing. And the second point that I would like to reflect on, which has to do with us, is the closing statement of Jesus, where he says, "Go and do likewise." There's a book written with this title, based on this parable, "Go and Do Likewise." It is our responsibility as Christians to be good Samaritans, to find opportunities to reach out and show our mercy, and to imitate what God wants us to do through this parable of the Good Samaritan. The hymn today is called Christos Hariavi Merelots. Now remember, we are still in the season of Easter. We are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you will enjoy listening to Christos Hariavi Merelots. I will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. I would like to thank my producer, Greg Dostur. I would like to thank all of our listeners and the sponsors of the show. May God bless you, and may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be always in your hearts.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Aram Kazazian of Bayside Family Dentistry. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Sarkis Church office at 718-224-2275.